Blog Talk Radio.
Tiffany, earlier today, we did a special broadcast with her. It was a pleasure speaking with her. Welcome to Applause Radio Show. I'm Joanne Barton. Tonight, we have a great show for you as well. We have actor Anson Williams and actor Hank Garrett with us tonight. But before we start, let me just say thank you to our sponsors, the High Bar and Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey, Precious Memory Video in Kittmersville, Pennsylvania, KWV Wines in South Africa, Tees for the Times and Other Stuff in Clifton, New Jersey, Syntech Productions in Oka Harbor, New Jersey, Take a Break from Cancer.org for Pete's Sake, The Observer Newspaper in Kearney, New Jersey, Joey Max Cafe in Harrison, New Jersey, GenieBottles.com, Cloison Designs in New Jersey, and Think Big Pictures in New York. So on the phone with me is Mr. Anson Williams. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, thank you. And again, I have to apologize to you and our listeners for the foul up last week. I am so sorry. It's just been so nuts. And I can't believe I'm doing back-to-back shows on a day that we don't normally do shows. So
everything's backwards.
I know.
For quite a few months now.
I know. Well, I thank you so much for joining us. I don't know if we should even touch on Happy Days because we already have in the past, but I did want to ask you one thing about when you guys all got together and went to Milwaukee and did the special. Were you doing that for the election? What was that all about?
Oh, yeah, actually, I was just so happy. Wisconsin, I guess, called Ron and asked Ron, do you think that, the guys from Happy Days and maybe some other people playing parts where people aren't available or passed away. What if they did a live reading of a couple of Happy Days scripts and then kind of a group chat and all that. And we'd raise money for the state of Wisconsin for Biden's campaign, but more so, it would bring a lot of attention to Biden and hopefully, make people aware of just what a great man he is. And it was a very tight race. So we did it, we went on, we did it. It was very successful and
nice.
We did it on a Sunday night, and on Monday he was 3 points ahead. So he gained,
wow.
he gained 3 points from the show, and he won Wisconsin by 2%.
Right. I know. It was very close in Wisconsin. Thank God.
Yeah.
Well, you guys must have had a blast, though. Who all showed up?
It was Ron. Ron showed up. Henry showed up. Donnie showed up. Marion was, she's 92.
Yeah.
And she was doing it and just felt a little off that day. So someone filled in for her, and Josh Gad played Mr. Cunningham.
Yeah.
And then some other, wonderful young people, played Joni but basically what Josh Gad's very well known. And then of course it was the four guys on Happy Days, and
nice.
It was just a blast. We actually could have just shot it the next day. It's like, we never went away.
Right. Well, you guys,
all these old guys playing 16 years old.
It's funny. Right. But you guys haven't seen each other in forever, especially with the virus. I mean,
Yeah.
No one's seeing anybody.
Well, we usually, and we usually stay pretty tight. I mean, Donnie, I see a lot. He doesn't live that far from me. Henry,
right.
quite a few times. Ron, when he was in town. But yeah, the last 7-8 months, it's been, everyone's had a difficult time.
Right. Well, I could definitely use some alert drops today. I don't know if folks know, but Anson is the creator, along with his uncle, Dr. Henry Heimlich, of the alert drops. And you guys are really helping people out with the pandemic fatigue. Tell us what's going on.
Well, it all started from a major problem in this country called drowsy driving. That's a catastrophic problem. More deaths, more tragedies than drunk and medicated combined. But I did fall asleep at the wheel decades ago.
Wow.
That's why it was very personal to me. Mm. Thank God everything ended up okay. But my uncle back then said to Dr. Heimlich said to have cut up lemons. He'd explain how the citric acid and sour lemon hits the lingual nerve on top of your tongue.
Yeah.
And the reflex reaction of the body is adrenaline. Boop, you're up, you're alert, nothing in your system. Just
right.
Like going to the doctor when he checks your reflexes on your knees, on your elbows. Same thing, there's reflex reaction between tongue and brain, and it's adrenaline.
Right.
Off the lingual nerve. So, we've been honored by the U.S. Congress. All this stuff helps. We've helped hundreds of people, thousands of people. But then we found out alert drops is excellent anytime you need to be alert for anything.
Right.
And we gave thousands to the front care workers during the pandemic because they're exhausted. They're working 16 hours a day.
Yeah.
They can't put all this crap in their system, too much caffeine, all these awful other drinks. So alert drops is a big help to the frontline heroic workers.
Right.
But now we're finding it's a huge benefit for what's called pandemic fatigue.
Yeah.
You know, you're stuck in your houses. People get tired just from the stress and from the major change of lifestyle and lack of energy and they're drinking too much coffee, having too much sugar, and we're finding alert drops has helped boost people up, get them clear, get them alert, and it's a real benefit. Getting out of that fog naturally. So
I know.
People go to alertdrops.com, they can read all about it. But anytime you need to be alert, whether it's for your job, whether for sports, students who are studying, we're finding out too during this pandemic thing. Kids with the homeschooling, they're looking at the screen all day,
right?
And they get tired, and we're finding alert drops really helps them have clarity and kind of stay focused.
And it's all natural. Yeah.
It's honestly a high-powered lemon.
Anson, what's the crap in these other drinks that are out there? These stimulus drinks. What's in there? I mean,
what's in there is
crap.
Things like sugar, heavy doses of caffeine, lots of I just went out of my head. Oh, what's that one? You take it and you get all tingly and red. What's
it called? Cocaine. I don't know.
It flushes you and all that. Oh, God, it's a natural ingredient. What's it called?
I don't know.
Anyway, it gives you this false sense of energy, and it's not. It's just a combination of all things in your body.
And it's not healthy for you.
It's not healthy. Your heartbeat goes up. There's so many chemicals. It doesn't work. And then you crash. So it actually makes you more jittery than not having it. And caffeine takes 20 minutes to work, and you eat too much of it. So then
right.
you start getting the jitters, and it screws up your whole sleep pattern.
Mm.
So now you're on this merry-go-round of exhaustion because you're not sleeping properly. So you're not getting the rest, and you're putting all this crap in your system, and the combination is lethal for you.
Right. I don't know if you heard. I don't know if you heard last week when I was talking about you coming on and mentioning the alert drops. I was saying that a coworker of mine, her husband, healthy as can possibly be, is a firefighter, and he was drinking one of them. I don't know which one, and I don't want to say who it is anyway, but he wound up having a heart attack. They said his heart was going to bust out of his chest. It was so bad because he was drinking those things. So
he had too much. That's what it does. If you have an underlying condition, they could be lethal for you. They should be off the shelf.
Right. Well, I don't know.
They really should be off the shelf. It's a phony. Like so much in America in terms of products, there's good ones, and there's people with no conscience that put out bad ones.
Right. Just
and they market it as good ones, and people take a lot of crap. You know, they do things that are really damaging to you.
Right. Well, I wanted to mention that. I don't know if everybody knows. Our loyal listeners know because you've been on before and probably know anyway that your uncle was Dr. Henry Heimlich, who created the Heimlich remover. So, remover, did you hear me? Maneuver.
Yeah,
I need alert drops.
No, I have one. Do you have your alert drops there?
I need them. I'm exhausted. I'm not feeling so hot. So I don't know. I'm hoping okay. But I want everybody to know that. And I just wanted, how did you approach him? Like one day you just said, God, there's got to be something out there. And like who came up with the actual idea? The both of you or you alone?
What happened was I fell asleep at the wheel driving back directing outside of Los Angeles. But I didn't, thank God I didn't hurt myself or anyone else. Mm. And it scared the heck out of me. And this is before I was vending products or anything. A few decades ago. And I talked to Dr. Heimlich about it because together we got the Heimlich maneuver on national TV for the first time.
Mm.
So that's a whole other story. But and he said Anson had cut up lemons with you, and he explained how the citric acid combined with the sour lemon hits the lingual nerve on top of your tongue, and you get the reflex reaction of adrenaline.
Right.
Nothing in your system, just boom, you're up. Just
right.
So then I went into the product business along with entertainment, and I love creating or co-creating problem-solving products that the big guys haven't invented yet.
So it was your idea. It was your idea to say, you know what, we should sell this.
I started looking, researching just how catastrophic drowsy driving was, and I said, wow, if we can take this make a high-powered lemon and put it into a spray drop. So you could just spray it right on top of your tongue.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be powerful? So that's when I called Henry, and he said, absolutely. Mm-hmm. He said that it's better because it's a direct hit. It'll have twice the effect. You'll save more lives in the Heimlich maneuver. There's many more people dying of exhaustion and everything than choking. Mm-hmm. So he helped me, develop the right lemon.
Right, and, lemon.
the ingredients is there's a hard hit of natural sour lemon. There's a hard hit of natural citric acid, which is in a lemon. There's water, and there's a bit of preservative just for shelf life, and that's the whole thing. But it's how it's put together. That's why it works so well.
Right. Well, how long has this been out? I mean, I know you gave it during the impeachment. You gave it out to some of the folks there because they were working, 24 hours a day, it seemed like, at the time.
Yeah.
So how long has the product actually been out?
It's been out over 2 years now.
Oh, okay. So
it takes time. I mean, the retail business for products, it doesn't matter if a product's good. It's very political and...
Right.
It's
hard to fill a shelf. I know.
You have to create a product and keep building it where they have to put it up there.
Right.
Because it's in demand. So that's what you try to do.
Right. I got to ask you this too, real quick, because my questions are all over the place. While you guys were together in Wisconsin, did you come up with a little idea maybe to do something together soon?
Oh, we weren't in Wisconsin. No, the thing is, we weren't in Wisconsin. We did it all by Zoom.
Right, but you were all chatting together, so.
Not too much that. It's funny. Dawn and I, we kind of figured out how to do a Happy Days reboot.
Oh, really? Tell me.
Yeah. We really did. We really did. So we might be talking about that. But it actually makes some sense, and that would be kind of fun. But we're just talking about it,
Well, that's what I figured. If you guys were all together at the same time, somebody could have said, hey, let's do something, so.
Well, Ron, I mean, everyone's pretty busy anyway, but yeah.
Now, let me ask you, how many have you given away to the frontline workers? It's got to be thousands.
Thousands of them, yeah. Thousands of them,
My God. Well, thank God.
Well, that's a privilege to be able to do that, you know.
Yeah, well, thank you for doing that, because they sure are killing themselves out there right now. I know my spouse is a nurse, and it's been rough. It's been rough on over here, too. Not as bad as on the West and Midwest, because, you know, we kind of had it first, so we're not as bad, so... But it's still overwhelming.
Yeah, but you guys have a good leader. But you guys also did your due diligence and did protocols, and you know, you guys handled it correctly. You know,
right. It just boggles my mind that, you know, this should have been handled like a 9/11. The country should have come together. You know.
Oh no, this should have been. Yeah, this is first of all, it's just, you know, a tremendous lack of care from the leader of the free world.
Yeah.
And just a tremendous lack of care, and turning it into a political thing, you know, and it's
right.
it really turned it into a selfish country.
Right.
You know,
right.
Instead of thinking about others. I mean, when did we stop thinking about others?
That's what I say. I say, when did we stop caring about each other? I think we have a call. Would you like to speak to a caller?
Sure.
Hang on, let's see what we got. Let's see who's calling. Hold on, here they come. Hi, welcome to Applause Radio Show. You're on with Anson Williams. Who's this?
This is Patty calling from Arizona, and I'm so excited.
Oh. Hi, Patty.
Hi, Patty.
Hi. I was so looking forward to talk to you a few months ago, and I know you had some issues a few months ago, so now I'm so excited. I've been waiting for you to come back.
Oh, well, I'm glad you waited.
Yes, I've been waiting. I've been watching the post and said, oh, maybe next time, and here you are.
Oh, here I am.
Do you have a question?
What area of Arizona do you live in?
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I'm in Glendale between Scottsdale and Phoenix. So come on out. Oh,
very nice area. Very nice area.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, do you have a question for Anson?
I just want to tell him I always thought he was the handsome one on the show when everybody was going after Fonzie and Richie was the star of the show. I thought he was the cute one. So, I hope you don't mind me saying that.
Well, thank you. Thank you. That makes me feel good. Thank you.
Well, I'm sure you knew that. I mean, clearly, look
at
the rest of the crew.
Listen,
Richie wasn't the cute one. And, I mean, Fonzie, you know, he came off as the, you know, the bad boy one, but he really wasn't handsome. He's talented, but he really wasn't the handsome one. And he's so short. I mean, life's too short to dance with a short guy. So, I mean, you're such a talented singer. So, I mean, come on, you're definitely the hot one.
Well, thank you. Do you have kids?
Well, he's 38. Does he count as a kid?
He's 38, but did he watch Happy Days?
I don't even know if he knows what Happy Days are.
Really?
Because when I was
you got to turn him on to it.
When I was watching you, I was babysitting for three young boys, and I would throw two into bed real quick as Happy Days was coming on at 8:00. And I was like, oh, God, I got to get these two rugrats into bed, because the older one wanted to watch it with me. But I was like, come on, get into bed, kids. Let me read the story real quick, as I had to watch Happy Days.
I think
we're about the same age.
Oh, you're 43 too?
Yes, I am. Matter of fact, my birthday was in October, and I turned 43 plus tax.
There you go.
Yes.
So are you a Libra? Are you a Libra?
I'm a Scorpio. I'm a Scorpio. So
what?
I'm your birthday
October
month.
What?
My birth 27th.
Ah, Henry Winkler's the 30th.
Yeah. You know what? I think I saw that somewhere that our birthdays were pretty close. So when's your birthday?
September 25th.
Oh, well, all right. So we'll have to celebrate next year. You'll have to come to Arizona, or I'll have to come to California, and we'll meet at the Yuma border. We'll meet at the Imperial Sand Dunes, and we'll meet there, and we'll celebrate our birthdays right in the middle.
Okay. What are the Imperial Sand Dunes?
On I-8. Right outside of Yuma, like all of a sudden,
right.
You just see these unbelievable sand dunes, and you'll be just driving along, and then all of a sudden you see like motorcycles and dune buggies just like racing across. It's like, I don't know, 50, 60 miles of like the most amazing sand dunes that like, and you could just like ride your dune buggies and bikes and just like go crazy out into the crazy sand dunes. So Google it while I'm talking to you and put Imperial Sand Dunes. It's like a state park of just crazy, crazy sand dunes. And it's a lot of fun. And you can camp on the other side of I-8, and then the sand dunes are on one side. But it's really pretty spectacular. Like you're on a highway and all of a sudden, boom, like you see a dune buggy or a motorcycle just like pop out of nowhere, and they're just coming off the sand dunes, but they're really high. They're like a mountain of sand, like not just little mounds. It's like a mountain of sand.
So are you gonna bring the dune buggy?
No, but you can rent them from the state park. You can rent them. No, but I'll get on. I'll ride on the back if you want to drive them. I don't think you want me to, but I'm a good driver. But I'll get on the back.
Welcome to the dating game, folks.
were you ever on the dating game?
You know, I was on the dating game years before Happy Days, years ago.
You know, I think I remember
I didn't know that.
I think I remember that. That's why I asked you. Remember that. What happened to the girl?
Yeah.
Did you ever date her again, or was it just a publicity stunt?
I think one time I was on before I was like really had an acting career, and then I was on again. I think during Happy Days, where I got to pick. I never went on the date. We never went on the date.
She didn't pick you. Did she pick you?
Yeah. No, I had to pick the second time.
Oh, you were the picker.
Yeah, I got to pick her, but then we never went on the date.
Oh, wow.
What happened?
She actually had a boyfriend. So
what?
She actually went on hit with him on the date. Whatever trip they
had.
The dating game at the time was really for like up and coming actors, right? It was kind of like an acting gig, right?
Yeah, it was kind of like that. But then this was when I was, so this time I was a celebrity, so I picked. But like I said, I never went on the date. She and her boyfriend went.
Oh, that's so funny.
That's kind of a breach of contract.
No, I liked it. I liked it.
I wanted to go on one of those. Because they always says, you know, a fun filled overnight to, you know, Catalina or Coronado or something.
Right.
Patty, we thank you for calling, but go out and get yourself some alert drops.
Alert drops?
You gotta help.
You
weren't listening to the radio. Go to alertdrops.com, okay?
Alertdrops.com.
It's very important. It's saving a lot of lives. And it's really helping people during this pandemic fatigue.
Yes.
I sure will. Okay.
Yeah.
And are you on Facebook? I'm gonna friend you on Facebook.
Yeah, I'm on Facebook. I'm bad, but yeah, I get. I think I have over the friends, but you can follow me or text. You can message me there too.
Okay, I sure will. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
And it was great to talk to you.
Calling.
Okay. Okay. Bye-bye. Have a great Thanksgiving. Bye-bye.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye. So you didn't know you're going to be on the dating game tonight, huh?
It's like, you know, wow. Quite an inside intense conversation there.
I know. I didn't mean to rush her off because it seemed like the two of you had something going there. But,
oh,
you know.
Yeah, that would be in trouble. Yeah, thanks.
But
yeah,
we got to get Hank on.
Hey, TMZ's listening, all right?
Yeah, let's call TMZ. Yeah, is the Star still out or the Inquirer? We got to give them a shout, too.
Just make sure it goes to all three.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, if you want to let everybody know where they can get Alert Drops, what you just said, alertdrops.com, and you probably have
alertdrops.com, yes.
You probably have a website as well, Anson?
For me alone, I don't, actually.
Well, you need to get one.
Nah. Don't need it. Just my...
Oh, well. You working on any other new products at this time?
I'm actually really looking into really cool ad platforms for the internet, creating some stores that really make, like the highway with all sorts of off ramps, so it makes really easy for people to buy what they need in a kind of unique way.
Do you code?
Oh, I don't know. Do I code? No, but I hire the person that does.
Oh, there you go. You're the idea guy.
Yeah. More the idea, creator idea. It's almost,
exactly.
But I definitely need it. No one does it by themselves. It's very collaborative. It's a lot of fun and you don't have to fly all over the place, and you don't have to manufacture product. And you don't,
right.
You know, you can help a lot of other people. It's pretty original, pretty interesting. So I've been spending a lot of time on that.
Right. Well, that's good. Well, I'm so happy that you're doing the alert drops and helping so many people out and just giving away the alert drops. That's so nice of you, especially during these tumultuous times, obviously.
Yeah,
you know, like you said, people need to be kinder to each other and help each other out, especially around the holidays.
These holidays. I mean, it's so, you know, at least here in California, it's very limited.
Yeah, well, I think they're shutting everything down real soon over here too. So
a couple of weeks
anyway, but. But I definitely got to get my hands on alert drops. I definitely needed them for today.
They're a tremendous help.
And now, what's my problem going to be? I like lemon. Is it going to just be a candy for me? Am I going to suck that bottle dry?
It's super sour. By the way, you can have nothing that'll hurt you. We find usually a couple of sprays on the tongue, it lasts 30 minutes to an hour of really alert. You can take some more if you want. There's nothing that'll hurt you.
Right. All natural, all healthy alert drops. Check it out. Anson Williams, I love you. Thank you so much for coming on. You got to come back when we spend more time because Hank is up next. So, I got to get on the horn with him. So, but I thank you so much. Everybody, alertdrops.com. Get them.
Thank you, everybody.
Stop drinking that crap and ruining your body. This is all healthy, and it'll keep
That's
you
right.
up. And
That's
especially,
right.
especially during the fatigue right now that we're all going through, being stuck in the house. So,
yes.
But,
yeah.
Anson, thank you so much, hon. You have a good night and a happy Thanksgiving.
You too. God bless. Stay safe, everybody. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. Thank you so much. Oh, boy. I know. We got to get more time with Anson because is somebody calling me? I think somebody's calling me. No. Sorry. We've got to get Anson back when we could spend more time with him and touch on happy days. We had the first time we had Anson on, we talked a lot about happy days. So if you're joining in tonight and was hoping to hear a lot about happy days, I'm so sorry. We had a limited time, so we really just wanted to talk about the alert drops for you guys out there because like I said, I definitely could use it right now. And, I could probably use it all the time, to be honest. So, but while I get Hank on the phone, I'm going to play, what's today, Wednesday? Well, let's be kind. I know I played it a few times today, but we just need to be. So hang on 1 second. I'm going to reach out to Hank Garrett. We're going to get him on the phone. Hang on, folks. Here you go.
I'm very well. How are you?
Oh, thank you. I'm well. Thank you. Thank you for joining us on Applause Radio Show. I appreciate it so much. I hope you're doing well in this crazy time.
Absolutely. Very fortunate. My book is out.
Just, yes.
And we're very excited about it.
Now, this is not your first book. You've written several books, right?
No, this is my first.
Oh, is it? I thought you had a few that you had written. I'm so sorry. We're talking about From Harlem Hoodlum to Hollywood Heavyweight, which I love the title. Love the title.
Oh, thank you.
So you got to tell us now, obviously, From a Harlem Hoodlum. I thought you were, I know you played a police officer on TV, but I thought you were also a police officer in real life way back, no?
Yes. Very short period of time. I was a police officer. And then I wound up having an audition for a show called car 54, where are you?
Yeah.
And went in, and Matt Hyken, this incredible genius who created the Bill Coates Show and several other shows, I sat opposite him. He looked at me, and he said, "You're Ed Nicholson." And I said, "Oh, no, I'm Hank Garrett." And he said, "Just the kind of dummy I'm looking for, because Ed Nicholson is the character you're going to play on Car 54, Where Are You?" And I said, "I am." He said, "Yes, you are."
You had no aspirations for acting, obviously, at the time, ever in your life, right?
I had done a little bit, but not much. And then suddenly, here I am, one of the stars on Car 54, Where Are You?
Yeah. That was a big
show. It was amazing.
Yeah. Well, I loved all the characters. I mean, Fred Gwynn, and Al Lewis. I mean, and then for them to team up again on the Munsters. Did you ever do a stint on the Munsters with them?
No, I didn't.
That would have been cool.
Oh, I know. Al was my partner on Car 54.
Right. I know. Now, like you said, someone approached you and said, "You're going to be on Car 54," but at the time, were you a police officer or were you being a hoodlum or what was going on?
No, I was a hoodlum, and then I thought maybe I'll become a cop so that I can hopefully make a change in what was happening. For example, at one time when I lived on the streets, and I truly did, I slept in cardboard boxes as a kid.
Wow.
I was always in trouble.
Where are you from originally, Hank?
Harlem.
Oh, in New York. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry.
111th between Park and Lexington.
Wow.
So I was right in the heart of Harlem. And I was raised in the slum. For example, as a kid, I remember going into the kitchen of the apartment we lived in when I lived there, and I put on the light, and the wall was covered by cockroaches. I saw the wall move. The light scared them, and they went into somebody else's apartment. And a couple of nights later, I was in bed.
Don't gross me out. Go ahead.
No, I won't. I won't tell you anymore.
Go ahead. You were in bed and they were all over you. Oh, God, gross.
No. I felt a weight on my chest.
Oh, God. Don't tell me. Oh, go ahead.
Yes.
Oh, so my goodness. Oh. A rat. It was a rat?
A huge rat, yes.
Oh, my God.
It had smelled whatever was on my breath. And that was very typical of the area.
Yeah.
It's very typical of the kind of life I led. And my mom and dad were immigrants from Russia. And I was born very late in life to them. And they were fruit and vegetable peddlers with a push cart.
Oh, they were wealthy.
Yeah, in fact, at one point, my mom was so, I guess, rather embarrassed about giving birth to me at such a late age. She was in her mid to late 40s.
Oh, well, at that time, wow,
Yeah. So, and I was at the pushcart with her at one point, and some woman came over and said, "Oh, is that your little boy?" And she said, "Oh, no, that's my grandson." And I said, not realizing she was embarrassed to have a child at that age, but to tell the person that I was a grandson, that
right.
I thought my mother is my grandmother.
Right.
And a couple of years later, my dad was at the door and talking to a census taker. And the census taker said, "How many in the family?" And he said, "There's a woman and three kids. Those are my two half brothers." And he said, "And who are you?" He said, "I'm an uncle visiting." Now, my father is my uncle. My mother is my grandmother.
Wow.
So that's the kind of confused life I had.
Wow.
So I was always in trouble because I was always angry. I never knew who I was.
Yeah, that must have been pretty hurtful to hear.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah. And, especially when everybody else was my son, and you were the grandchild, you know.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Well,
and,
I'm sorry.
No. There was a gentleman who was my mother's customer at the fruit and vegetables pushcart, and he was a mayor of Harlem.
Mm.
And my mother was crying to him about my always being in trouble. And so he came to me on the street corner. Here I am, 12 years old, and I'm smoking with my fellow hoodlums.
Mm-hmm.
And he came up to me and said, first of all, he slapped a cigarette out of my mouth.
Mm.
I didn't know who he was, but he was well-dressed, and I was going to throw a punch at him, and his bodyguards moved. And I thought there were two mountains in the background that came toward me. And I backed away. He said to me, your mother wants me to take you out. Now, when you say to somebody in New York, I'm taking you out, it means I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, exactly.
So I said, my mother is putting a contract out on me?
Hmm.
So he said, listen, do you have a suit? And I said, yes, I do. He said, okay, I want you to wear that suit tonight, but before you do, take a bath. I put the suit on. He took me to the Apollo Theater.
Oh, wow.
And I saw the headlining Sammy Davis Jr.
Mm.
We didn't go into the theater.
It was the mayor who approached you, you said.
Yes, the mayor
of
Harlem.
Okay, yeah. And he took me to Apollo.
He took me to the Apollo. We went into Sammy Davis's dressing room.
Mm.
And he said to Sam, this is the kid I was telling you about.
Mm.
Sam said, sit down. He said, you're a tough guy, huh? I said, yeah, I'm tough. He said, tough guys wind up with broken bones and scars. But you're even beyond that. You're going to either go to prison or you're going to die.
Mm.
And I went, I'm 12 years old.
Did you know who he was? Did you know who he was?
I heard of him. And now, when he said that, and I knew he was right because I had a gun in my pocket.
Mm.
I'm 12 years old with a 25 caliber pistol in my pocket.
Wow.
Mm. He got me a gig with an all-black orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what am I doing? He said, you're going to be the band boy. Mm-hmm. What's a band boy?
Yeah.
He said, to put the music out for the musicians. And at the end of the gig, you collect all the music and you put it away. Well, Dorky Millinder was the band leader. I did the show I put out the stuff for everyone at the Hotel Teresa. And he came to me. And he gave me $50. $50.
Mm.
And he said, get yourself some new kicks, shoes.
Yeah.
My shoes were torn to shreds.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day, I ran to Florsheim Shoes, and I bought a pair of Florsheim Shoes for $15 and gave the $35 to my mother, more money than she had ever seen in her life.
Wow.
Then Sam made some phone calls. And I started working up in the Catskills, learning to be funny. I was funny, but I learned the craft. And my right hand to God, approximately two years later, I'm at the Sands in Las Vegas, opening for Tony Bennett.
Right. Tony Bennett, Duke Ellington, Count Basie, Dinah Washington. I mean, my God, you worked with... I've seen you in so many shows, too. I was a huge Columbo fan growing up.
And my God.
And I remember you being in Columbo all the time. And you've been a great character actor in a lot of things, too. So, but I got to say... Boy, was that meant to be, huh? I mean, probably be dead. You'd probably be dead right now if that
Absolutely.
Didn't happen to you.
My manager, Deanna Marie Smith, has arranged for me to go to speak to children that are incarcerated. And I walk out, I don't preach down to them. I just tell them I know the feeling because I was there where you are. I was there. God, sent me an angel.
Right. Thank God. And you
yes.
were actually the first white comedian to perform at the Apollo, right? Did I read
absolutely.
That correctly? Wow. Wow. Well, you were definitely given a miracle. When did the fighting come into play, your professional fighting?
I was wrestling when I was not quite 16. And I was going to turn pro at 17.
Uh-huh.
But needed a license. Couldn't have a license unless you were at least 21.
Mm.
So people I grew up with, arranged for me to have a different birth certificate, different social security card,
mm-hmm.
showing me 10 years later. So 17, I was listed as 27, and I turned pro. They dyed my hair blonde, and I became a professional wrestler known as Hank Daniels, the Minnesota farm boy.
Oh, wow.
Now, I've never been to Minnesota, nor
right.
did I ever see a farm.
Oh, my God. Did they dress you up as a farmer, too? Or no, they didn't do that back then. They didn't dress
no,
up.
No, no, no. I honestly, I got to tell you something. I had a fan club, and the youngest member of the fan club was about 120 years old. They were little, wonderful little ladies who adopted me. And they would show up at any one of my wrestling matches with tons of food, big shopping bags full of home-cooked food. Now, all the wrestlers on the card, the same card I was on, ate all the food. And they said to me, when is your fan club coming back?
They wanted the food.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah. Now, did you meet Elvis? I know he attended one of your bouts. Did you actually meet him or no?
I sparred with him.
Oh, God, I didn't know that. I thought, oh, my God, I thought that he... you actually sparred with him? I thought you were in a fight that he watched in Vegas.
No. I was appearing at the Sands.
Yeah.
And I had gotten a call. A friend of mine was opening for Elvis, and he told Elvis that I was a black belt. I'm in the Hall of Fame, black belt.
Yeah.
I'm in the Karate Hall of Fame. And I got a call from one of Elvis's people, said, would you want to do Mr. Presley the honor of sparring with him?
Hmm.
And I said, you want me to do Elvis the honor?
Right, right.
I said, okay, I'll give the kid a break. Elvis,
oh my God.
He rented a hall at the Sands. Now, he showed up with his whole entourage, about 30 guys. Elvis was wearing a uniform, what they call a gi.
Uh-huh.
It must have cost $2,500, $25,000. Mm. Everything was hand-embroidered.
Mm.
One leg said Elvis, the other leg said Presley.
Wow.
In glowing letters. And oh my God, I'm standing here with my $1.95.
I was going to say, what were you wearing?
Yeah. And mine was in shreds. And, you know, my black belt looked like a black shoelace because it was so shredded.
Mm.
And Elvis was such a gentleman. He came up to me and he said, sensei in Japanese is teacher.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I said, Elvis, you don't address me as sensei because you and I are of the same rank. So he said, oh okay, sensei. Now, he says to me, sensei, I would appreciate it if you don't hit me in the face because I've got a show to do tonight.
Right.
And I said, well, Elvis, I would appreciate if you don't hit me in the face because I too have a show to do tonight. He says to me, sensei, if I hit you in the face, it'll be an improvement.
Oh, God.
And I said, Elvis, you know I'm going to kill you. You know that.
Oh, that's so funny. Oh, my God. Did you ever get a role in one of his movies?
No, never did.
So those now, after the fighting and after, well, not after, when did you get your first big acting role? Was Columbo, well, what was Car 54, but
yes.
Everything, what we all just talked about happened before Car 54.
Yes.
Right.
That was the springboard for me. When I appeared anywhere, the advertisement was Hank Garrett, who plays Nicholson on Car 54, and the club would be jammed because Car 54 was so, so wonderful, and everyone loved it.
Yeah.
So, it, as I said, it was the springboard. It opened doors for me.
Right. But was that your first acting role?
I had done a little bit of stuff, some commercials, but not much. There was no people that were really interested. I had no real background other than being on the streets and being a hoodlum. But I was appearing at a club in New York called The Living Room. And a guy came to me and he said, listen, I love what you're doing. It's very funny. And I would love to manage you. And I said, oh. Well, he also managed Tony Bennett and Jerry Vale. I wound up going with that. He assigned me to Tony. I was with Tony for 4 years. And then when Tony decided he was didn't want an opening act, he wanted somebody who could work with him. So he started working with some of the female stars. And then I went to Jerry Vale. And I was Jerry Vale's opening act for 2 years. So it was just magic. One night at the Copa, a gentleman came to me and said, you do wonderful dialects. And I said, yeah, I had to learn from the best, Sid Caesar, who actually became my mentor at one point.
Wow.
I used to sneak into the Sid Caesar rehearsal. I would actually climb the fire escape in the back of the studio and come down into the theater. And I sat on the last seat and listened to Sid Caesar and his whole show. And at one point I laughed out loud and Sid yelled, who's up there? And I stood up and he said, come on down here. And I came. I was a kid. I came down and I sat. He said, sit here. I sat in the front row. And he said, you're only to laugh when I say things funny. Pay no attention to the rest of the gang.
Wow, that's so funny. Oh, my God.
And I watched him, and I started learning. And I also listened to some stuff on radio. We didn't have a television.
Right.
And I learned to do dialects. And so after this gentleman, this British gentleman came to me, and he said, would you be interested in going to London? He said, I've had the offer to do the show, and I can't do it, but you're marvelous. And that's what he said. And there's a show called That Was the Week That Was with David Frost.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I wound up going to London. This guy had called the producers, and I got the show. And I was doing That Was the Week That Was for a year and a half.
When you were doing the stand-up, did you do any imitations of Ed Nicholson? Like, was some of the comedy around him or no?
No, I just did some people in my neighborhood because I came from a variety.
Growing up.
And so I did Italian. I did Puerto Rican. I did Jewish. And so I was there. In fact, I did a thing that became a signature piece, and that was the Puerto Rican airline pilot.
Oh, let me hear.
Oh, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is your flight commander, Martinez, welcoming you to flight 602, which also happens to be the number for today. The pilot at the control is Senor Garcia, who graduated from flight school yesterday. And we will take off just as soon as he gets up enough nerve. This will be a nonstop flight from San Juan to Puerto Rico. Many people think that San Juan is in Puerto Rico, but that's not true because Puerto Rico is in New York.
Oh, God, that's funny. Oh, my God. That is funny. Oh, man. Now, how'd you enjoy working on Columbo? I love that show.
Oh, Peter was wonderful. And I had worked with, well, I did his show. He had a show in New York called Trials of O'Brien. Yeah, it didn't last too long. But I had gotten a call from my agent who said, you want to pick up a day's pay? He said, you're going to be a movie man. And you go into this guy, and he didn't mention the name of a star. He just said, you go into this guy's office, and you come, and he's going to grab you, grab a couch or a chair, carrying out. And he comes over and says, what are you doing? And I said, well, next time, pay your alimony, and you, your furniture won't get well. I come in, I run in, they give me a jumpsuit, I wear the jumpsuit, and I run over and I grab on the set and they yell, action. I grab a chair and I hear, hey, what are you doing with my furniture? I said, and I stop and I go, oh my God, that's Peter Falk. I hear, cut.
Yep, I knew I was going to say the same thing.
Yes. They said, Hank, we know it's Peter Falk.
Oh,
now,
God.
You want to stick to the script, please?
Right. Oh, my God. Oh. Well, you didn't know who it was. I would have done the same. Anybody would have done the same thing if they were thrown
into
that.
Exactly. If they would have told me at the beginning who I'm going to work with. Oh, my God. Now, years later, I do a guest appearance on his show here.
Right.
And knew that I was doing impressions of him in my act. So he says to me, are you still doing an impression of me? And I said, oh, Peter, I stopped doing impressions. He said, have I lost favor with you? Is that what you're trying to say?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no, Peter, I'm putting it right back in my act. It's going to be Kingpin. Well, my son, while I was shooting, my son got into trouble. And I had to go to the studio to see my son being dragged out in handcuffs.
Oh, God.
And I go to the studio, and I'm sitting there. I'm playing Peter's boss on the show. And Peter walked in, and he said, what's wrong? And I said, well, I tell Peter. He says, Hank, listen. Why don't we shoot around you today? And you wait, call me. And he gives me his number. Call me. Tell me when you're ready. And I went, oh, God, Peter, that's wonderful. But no, let's do it. And we did it. And when I got home, Peter called. How are you doing? I said, I'm doing fine, Peter. He said, anytime you need to talk to me, please call me.
Oh, wow.
And what a, you know, what a guy. What a gentleman.
Yeah. I liked him a lot. I really did. I loved the character. I loved him. And I actually thought he was very handsome, too, believe it or not. I mean, for an older man, I was young at the time, so I thought he was very handsome. You know, but now, I wanted to ask you this. Now, did your mom and dad ever say, like, they were sorry for calling you the grandson, or no?
No.
Never spoken of?
Never did. As I said, I lived on the streets because they didn't have time for me.
Right.
There was no apology.
Like,
I'm
talking about when you became famous and everything. I mean, they still...
They didn't see it. The only thing my mother did see was when I was doing Car 54. And she says to me, can't you tell them to give you a shirt? Because I was always in the locker room in a T-shirt, muscle posing. She said, it's not nice for the neighbors to see you in your underwear.
Oh, my God. Oh, jeez. Oh, my God. Now, the book right now, when did it come out? November 2nd, I think, or recently?
The 15th.
The 15th, and, pardon me.
Oh, and it's about my life.
Yeah.
You can get, you know, if anyone is interested, and I hope they are, it's going to be at Amazon under books. And so far, it's been so exciting that whoever has read it has said this is going to be a movie.
Yeah, I can imagine it being. How long did it take you to write it? I mean, you wrote about your life, so, I mean, how long did that take?
A couple of years. And
wow.
my manager, Anna Marie, she's the one who really, really is the brains behind the book.
Mm.
I had the stories, and she had to keep reminding me, and what did you do next?
Mm.
How old were you when you were wrestling? And I told, said, she said, you, how could, were you in, and I said, yes, I was in high school when I was westling. So
did you graduate, Hank?
Yeah, I graduated from high school. I got a scholarship to North Carolina.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I got football scholarship, and I left. I left because there was a lot of prejudice.
Mm.
And so, in fact, when they called a roster when I showed up, and the guy, they kept calling names, Smith, Calhoun, and I didn't know, honest to God, did not know my name. My father assumed my mother's married name because he was in the country illegally.
Mm.
So he grabbed her name, which was Greenberg.
Mm.
So now here I am. I'm Hank Greenberg.
Mm.
Now the assistant coach is calling the names for the roster, and every time he came to the name Greenberg, I put my hand up. And he said, put your hand down, fool. Okay, I'm going to call it again. Jones, Smith, Calhoun, Greenberg. You're Greenberg? I said, yes, sir. He said, you sure you want to go to this school, boy?
Hmm.
I said, yeah, I got a football scholarship. He said, aside from that, you have to go to classes. I don't know if the other students are going to cotton to you being in their school. Right. Well, I started martial arts when I was 11 years old because I wanted to be a better street fighter. But
yeah.
The teacher said, no, no, I don't teach street fighting. I teach humility and respect.
Right.
Well, I trained. And one day I'm on the campus, and it's the front lawn of the school. And a guy came to me, and he said, hey, boy, listen, I understand you're a pretty tough guy. You've got a heck of a reputation. He was one of the alumni. So he said, how tough do you think you are? And I said, I don't think I'm tough at all. He said, I want my son, Junior, to wrestle you. I said, well, I can't do that. And he called this guy, Junior, who was about 6'4", weighed about 300 pounds, and he's wearing a Coors T-shirt.
Mm.
And he comes charging at me.
Mm.
And this guy yells, get him, Junior. Show him something. Give him a lesson.
Mm.
And I said to him, I said, I don't want to hurt your son. He said, you hurt my son? And he said, Junior, teach him a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly my martial arts came into effect, and I took him down. I kicked him twice on the leg. His leg collapsed. Boom, he went down. I got on top, and I did what they call an arm bar.
Mm.
And I said, and I was applying pressure. And the father just stood there with his mouth open. And he said, Junior, don't let him do that to you. I said, tell Junior to stop moving or else I'm going to hurt him.
Right.
Well, I released him and got up, and he looked at me, and he said, what the heck was that? I said, it's called karate.
Mm.
He said, where'd you learn that karate? I said, from my rabbi. And he just backed away, and school got tougher and tougher. I was on the team, and I had to fight every member of the team.
Wow. Was the prejudice just down south towards Jewish, or not in New York at the time, was it?
No, not in New York. New York.
I didn't think so.
But in North Carolina, it was very strong.
I had no idea. I thought the prejudice at the time was only toward African-American, you know, or people of color, you know, which is horrible
mm-hmm.
as well. But, I mean, I didn't know that obviously they hate everybody. Sorry, folks.
Oh, yeah. The funny thing is that any guys, that people that were Jewish and living in North Carolina changed their names.
Right. So they didn't know, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. Well, I'm sorry. God, it sounds like you had some life. My goodness. My goodness.
Here I am.
Well, thank God. Thank God.
Thank God.
You definitely
absolutely.
Had a tough life. My goodness. Can you share anything? I don't want to give the book away, but anything, maybe one point of something that we would be shocked or exciting about in the book?
Oh, well.
Don't give too much away. We want people to buy it now.
Absolutely. Thank you. I did the movie 3 Days of the Condor with Robert Redford.
Yes.
And I wound up winning the New York Film Critics Award.
Nice.
And I won it for Best Fight Scene.
Mm.
Well, recently, Deanna Marie and I were taken to Las Vegas, and I received an incredible award, and it said Best Fight Scene in Film Ever.
Really?
Yes. So I'm very proud of that. And of course, I've done a number of other things, but 3 Days of the Condor is what sticks out in my mind, and of so many other shows that I've done.
Right.
And I got to tell you, when I talk to the kids about what I've done, I tell them that God sent me an angel.
Right.
And the angel was Sammy Davis Jr.
How long did you stay in touch with him after your first meeting? I mean, obviously, he probably had you under his wing for a while.
I hadn't seen him in years. And then when I was on stage opening for Tony, in the audience was Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Peter Lawford, and Sam.
Yeah, the pack.
Exactly. And now, when I got finished, Frank gave me a standing ovation.
Wow.
And when Frank stands up, the world stands up.
Exactly.
So the entire audience got up and gave me the standing ovation.
Nice.
Now, after the show, everybody ran back to see Tony. And I was standing there, and Sam came over to me. And he said, "Man, you are funny.
Mm.
Where do I know you from? You look so familiar."
Mm.
And I said, "Sam, you said was going to go to prison or die."
Wow.
And he said, "That's you?" And I said, "Yeah." We hugged and we cried, standing there, two grown men sobbing.
Right. Beautiful moment.
And I was, you know, and every time Sam was in town, I'd call him, or I'd been to his home a number of times. And just amazing guy. What an amazing guy. Mm-hmm. I got to see him perform, and to see this man for over 2 hours dancing, singing, impressions,
mm-hmm.
playing every instrument in the band.
Mm. Oh, I didn't know he played instruments.
Yes.
Mm.
He went from every instrument on the stage. All the musicians had backed off, and he went to town.
Wow. Well, you
incredible.
Definitely saved by a wonderful guardian angel. I mean, and you still to this day, like you said, you go and talk to kids now, right? Is that a specific foundation or something like that? Or
no, I go to places, there are institutions where the children are either awaiting trial or awaiting sentencing.
Mm.
And I got to tell you, we got 14 letters from the kids. And in the letters, they say, "Mr. Garrett, Sammy Davis Jr. was your angel, and you are our angel.
Mm.
And I started going to hospitals, veterans, and I talked to the vets, and I realized I've got to do more.
Mm.
And so Deanna Marie and I, we do autograph shows all over the country, all over the world if possible.
Uh-huh.
And all the proceeds go to disabled vets and wounded warriors.
Oh, nice. Nice.
And now we got another thing that we're working on. It's called Hangster's Kids.
Oh, cute.
And what I'm trying to do is establish a place where kids can come to, get them off the street.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a place. You're safe. Play games. We'll teach you martial arts if that's what you want to do.
Mm.
And if you're hungry, we'll feed you.
How long have you been doing this, Hank, doing that?
Number of years, but now the Hangster's Kids is something that we just came to think about, and that we're thinking very strongly. So even now with the book, we're going to do proceeds. We'll go to disabled vets and Hangster's Kids.
Nice. The reason I asked you how long you've been doing it is I want to ask you, have you noticed difference in the kids over the years, and what type of difference? Is it worse, better, or indifferent?
There are more kids on the streets now, and look at what's happening in Chicago. You know, it's the kids that are getting killed because the drug dealers are using the kids to sell the stuff.
Right.
So the kids are on the streets, and opposing gangs come by and just blow them away.
That's horrible.
Yeah, exactly. New York has also become a shooting gallery.
I heard. I know. I was actually just talking to someone yesterday that lives in a very nice neighborhood, saying that she heard that the New York tourism is not expected to bounce back until 2025 because the crime is so rampant right now.
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. Being from New York, when I started working the COPA, you know, looking at a better area and saying, what a change. I saw pictures of where the COPA was.
Mm-hmm.
And where all these kids are lined up and being arrested, and oh my God.
Mm. Have you ever had a kid where you knew just by looking at them or talking to them that there was no change in nor turning them around?
Some are lost.
Yeah.
But we, because of Deanna Marie, she had set it up where I could talk to these kids.
Yeah.
Well, when I got through talking to them, and I don't preach down to them, and there was a little girl, she's probably 13 or 14 years old, and she sat there with her arms folded, just glaring at me.
Mm.
And comedy, we showed a clip of Car 54.
Mm.
They'd never seen it, and suddenly they laughed, and it was, I went, oh, my, thank God. And this girl who sat there with her arms, the arms came down.
Mm.
And after the show, I brought pictures for the kids. I did autographs for them. And I gave them my home number.
Nice.
I said, contact me, please.
Yeah.
Well, she came over. And I said, oh, she's going to either throw a punch at me or just. And I just looked at her. She looked at me and she said, Mr. Garrett? I said, yeah. You're freaking funny. And she laughed and smiled and walked away.
Oh, a little bit tuffy.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, can I have your autograph? And I gave her an autograph picture. And she said, thank you. And I don't think she's ever said thank you in her life.
Mm.
And it meant so much to me. Wow.
Yeah.
Because of kids, I went to Vietnam.
Oh, I didn't know you were there, too. Jesus Christ, what have you not done?
Well, the only thing I haven't done was get on your show, and thank God for that.
Well, you're here now. You put a little check mark. I'm going to do it, too. I'm going to put a little check mark, Mr. Hank Garrett. I had the pleasure.
it's such a thrill for me to be on your show and talk to you.
Right back at you.
Oh, thank you.
And your book sounds fabulous. I mean, it sounds like it may break my heart to read because you sound like such a sweetheart. And to hear that you went through such a tough time is going to kill me to read it. I hate when people have just had such a tough life. But guess what? You are a proven act that life is what you make of it. And you made it better and you turned your life around. And I mean, I said that today, actually. I don't know what I was talking about. I was rambling on, obviously. And I said, you know, life is easy. The choices we make it hard, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
So, and for you to do what you've done, thank God for Sammy Davis Jr., you'd probably be dead.
Yes, absolutely. You know? I knew that. And had I not run into Deanna Marie, this book would never exist.
Right.
So God doesn't make mistakes.
No. No. Are you thinking, did you enjoy writing the book? Are you going to do another one?
We're waiting on this. It's just, you know, but we're going to do a couple of others. And I'll tell you something, a situation that occurred because I never knew much about my father. Boy. We were playing spitball on the street, a bunch of kids. And a car pulled up and covered what we were using as third base.
Okay.
So we walked over, and two guys, I didn't know their names. What the names I did know, I didn't know that these were the two guys that I heard about.
Mm-hmm.
And they were in town in my area to collect the money that was made on bets.
Right.
So they parked the car, and we run over and say, listen, can you move the car just a few feet? You're blocking third base. And the guy got out and said, get out of here.
Mm.
I said, come on. He says, I'm telling you, get out of here.
Yeah.
Well, they go into a building probably to pick up some money. And one guy yells to me, and my nickname was Crusher. He says, Hank, let's move the car. We move the car. And as we move the car, I felt a tremendous pain in my back. This guy kicked me. I turn around and throw a punch. I knock him down. He starts reaching into his pocket.
Uh-oh.
And the other guy yells, not here, because there were people all over out of their windows watching that.
It's broad daylight. You're playing stickball.
Exactly.
Broad daylight. Yeah.
So now he looks at me and says, I want to be here for a week. I don't want to see your face. I go and I hide somewhere. Well, one night, my friend George Washington Jr., who also lived on the street, we scrape up a couple of pennies and we go to a movie. Now, we're coming out of the movie theater, we're walking home, and a car jumps the sidewalk and stops us. And the guy that I hit gets out of the car, grabs me by the collar, pulling me, and he pulls me into the schoolyard on my block, and he throws me up against the wall, and he pulls out a gun, and he sticks it in my face.
Oh, God.
The other guy who's driving wasn't the guy that was with him earlier, and he says, hold it. Do you know who this kid is? And he says, yeah, some smart kid, and I'm going to blow his brains out. He said, that's Big Sam's kid. And I just froze. And the guy said, you're sure? He says, yeah, that's Big Sam's kid. He puts the gun back in his pocket, slaps me in the face, gets in the car, and drives away. And I didn't know what. He can't be referring to my father.
Right, I'm going to say, tell me the correlation here.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, my father, who cried when it rained. So I'm working a club in the Bronx, And I'm in the bathroom, and I'm putting on makeup. Everyone wore makeup when they performed.
Mm.
So, and they don't, the door opens up, and a guy looks in. He doesn't see me standing behind the partition. And there's a mirror there, and I'm getting ready. And he lets some elderly gentleman come into the bathroom. And I walk out. And as I walk out of the bathroom, the guy that opened the door grabs me, throws me up against the wall, and he's got me by the throat. He says, "What are you doing in there?" I said, "Well, I'm getting ready to do the show."
Mm.
Well, the older man comes out. This is what's going on. He said, "I didn't see him standing wherever he was when I told you it was clear." He says, "Then it's your fault. Take your hand off this kid."
Yeah.
He did. And the older man says to me, please come to my table. I want to apologize to you.
Mm.
And I come to his table. He says, "Have a drink." And I said, I you never refuse. So I said, "Well, I've got an ulcer, so I can't drink." He says, "Kid, like you got an ulcer. Would you like something to eat?" I said, "Yeah, now you're talking." I sit down, and he says to me, "Where are you from?" I said, 111th between Park and Lexington. He says, "Really?" He says, "What's your name?" I said, "Well, I'm the comedian on the show, and I'm Hank Garrett." And he froze.
Mm-hmm.
And I see the color drain out of his face.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "You're either lying to me about where you live or you're lying to me about your name."
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "No, I'm Hank Garrett." He says, "There are no Garretts on 111th Street." He says, did you change your name?"
Right.
And I said, "Yes, it was Greenberg."
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Sam Greenberg is your father?"
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Yeah." "Big Sam is your father?"
Mm-hmm.
And this guy was a don in the mafia.
Right.
And I said, "Yeah." He said, "When you go home tonight, say to your father," and he tells me his name, which I can't repeat right now.
Mm-hmm.
"Tell him I said hello."
Mm-hmm.
I go home that night, and I said to my father, "Oh, I got regards." And I said, and he says, "Who?" And I tell him, and he says, "Never heard of him."
Mm-hmm.
So my father had a reputation, because at one time the man said to me, "Big Sam was the toughest Jew I ever met in my life."
Hmm.
I said, "My father?"
Right. No.
Wow. God. Yes.
Do you think he had a little connection there or what?
I never found out. I knew that... The name Big Sam meant a lot to some people.
Well, maybe he was in the Jewish mafia.
Could be, but we lived in such poverty.
Right.
You know, if he wasn't connected, why wasn't he rolling
well
in dough?
Right, well off, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sitting here. I didn't even realize the time. I've got like 5 minutes left, Hank. I was enjoying this story so much. I didn't even realize the time. Oh my goodness, you had me enthralled here. I gotta read the book. Oh my God, folks, Mr. Hank Garrett. Oh my God, his new book, From Harlem Hoodlum to Hollywood Heavyweight. About his life story, and if you were listening tonight, I can only imagine how deep that book is, because I mean, you just touched me with this story, and it's gonna break my heart to read it, because I've fallen in love with you, and to hear something sad is gonna break my heart.
No, everything has been wonderful since.
Absolutely.
Yeah, God is good.
Yeah. Just a shame that you had to go through what you did and as a kid and but look who's laughing now, right?
Yes, exactly.
Oh my God. Well, Hank,
who's
I got can't
the last laugh now.
Right. No, well, when is are you working on any music or anything or no?
it's funny. I did an off-Broadway review, and I sang and danced in the review. And it was fun. I love singing.
Well, you got a great voice for it, so.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. And your impressions were fabulous, too.
Oh, thank you.
Who else Who else do you do other than Peter Falk and, oh, God, who did you do earlier? The Puerto Rican pilot.
Well, when I did the, when I was in London, and I did different dialectic gibberish characters. In fact, at one point, Peter said to me, Peter Falk. So he said, well, do me a favor. He said, Hank, you're doing a Chinese delivery man this evening. I want you to go absolutely nuts. And he said, even if you go out in the audience, just keep that character. I said, okay. So now Peter says, yes, can I help you? No MSG. And I ran out in the audience and I'm throwing chopsticks all over the place.
Oh.
Lousy tipper. Yeah, pushing ya.
Oh my God.
So I did all this stuff on the show.
Nice.
And it was David Frost with God. And that was the week that was.
Right, right. Oh, my goodness. Well, the book sounds amazing. I definitely am going to pick it up. Hank, thank you so much. It was a pleasure meeting you and getting to know you and speak with you. I can't thank you enough. Have a happy Thanksgiving and stay in touch. I would love to have you back on.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for the invitation.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And you take care. And it was a pleasure again speaking with you. And again, come on back. I'd love to chat with you again. Well, thank you so much. Everybody, Hank Garrett, check out the new book, From Hoodlum to Hollywood Heavyweight. From Harlem Hoodlum to Hollywood Heavyweight. It's on Amazon and I guess everywhere else you can find books online, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yep, check it out.
Thank you.
Well, thank you again. Take care. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. Stay safe, stay healthy, and take care.
Yes, and God bless.
You too. Thank you so much. Bye-bye, Hank.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Take care. Oh, boy. Well, I'm telling you, I was just enthralled listening to his story. It's so... horrible, actually, but for him to turn it around and have a beautiful life after that. You know, sometimes when things are shitty, you make things better. So the shittier they are, the harder you work to get out of it. So thank you so much to our guests, Anson Williams, alertdrops.com. Stay away from that crap stuff that has all that kept in it. The natural, all-natural alert drops, alertdrops.com. And Hank Garrett, his new book, From Harlem Hoodlum to Hollywood Heavyweight. Oh, man, I wanted to ask him when the last time he went back to Harlem and what he thought of the changes there. Harlem's been built up a lot, and I haven't been there in quite some time. But, you know, it's just New York City, so it's cool. So thank you again to our guests. Thank you to Tiffany again for joining us today. And thank you to the sponsors, the High Blonde Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey, Precious Memory Video in Kittnersville, Pennsylvania, KWB Wines in South Africa, Tees for the Times and Other Stuff in Clinton, New Jersey, Syntec Productions in Nocoa Harbor, New Jersey, Take a Break from Cancer.org for Pete's Sake, The Observer Newspaper in Kearney, New Jersey, Joey Max Cafe, Harrison, New Jersey, GenieBottles.com, Claws and Designs in New Jersey, and Think Big Picture in New York. So have a great weekend and happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye. We'll see you Wednesday with Coco Dolans. Take care. Bye-bye.
I'm getting up.